Take your Bibles out, please, or whatever you use, your device. But the verses will be on the screen behind me if it's not what you came prepared to do, and that's great, too. I'm just glad you're here. We're going to be all over the Bible today. Is that okay?
Yeah, I
think so. It says more than I could say, for sure. Nothing I have to say is more important than what we're going to read today. So a few weeks ago, I talked about two versions of Christianity. There's the Jesus version, which is kind of important, and the version we've made it where it's just all, you know, make us feel good, right? You're with me, right? A couple of weeks ago, I talked about two versions of the gospel, and that is that God is love, and please understand God is so love. We just sung about it, and that was on purpose. But then we turned a hard corner, and we had to talk about how God looks at our sin. And the gospel was put into place to deal with our sin, not to make us feel good. I'll take it from here. Amen, Jeff. And Pastor Dwayne unleashed this can of worms with talking about kingdom business and church stuff. Right? So it's like, what we're doing, is it increasing the kingdom or are we just running an organization? And I'm not in the business of running an organization. I'm in the business of increasing the kingdom of God. You are too. So I get that. But we have to be super intentional. Amen. Today, I want us to consider this question. Why didn't the creator of the universe, Almighty God, why didn't he just take us to heaven the minute we said yes to him? Because if that's the end game, we got it. Right? So it's like, you know, repeat the prayer after me, whatever it was for you. And then it's like you're expecting just to go, you know, like right up into the heavens because that's the end game, right? Or is it? I guess the bigger question is, why are we here? No, I mean on the planet. I don't mean like here. Why are we so blessed? Why didn't he just take us home? I mean, you know, we're just pilgrims passing through, and all of the church phrases, right? So, why didn't he just take us home? I suggest again that the reason is twofold. There's two reasons. One, we're created in the image of God for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, period. But also for the glory of God, period. Furthermore, I want to make a big suggestion here that my goal is never to offend or to confuse, and I'm not a deep guy. I'm really not. I just think a lot. But I also suggest that if we don't understand we're made in the image of God for the furtherance of the gospel of God, but also for the glory of God, anything short of that isn't biblical Christianity. So what I'm going to do today, and this will be quick, man. I was noticing when I always have like 3 different copies of notes in case something doesn't work, because I'm that guy. I'm a panicker. So I realized this is probably the shortest sermon I've written in a minute. It took me longer to write it, but I'm not going to just keep you hostage today. I want to encourage you and challenge you, and then we're going to go and be the church. Amen. I want to start from the beginning. We're going to be in Genesis 1. Why did God even create humans? I'm gonna. It's a bunch of questions this morning, if you haven't already noticed. You do know that God doesn't need us, right? I mean, you're important to me. You're important to Pastor Dwayne, but God doesn't need us. He's pretty self-sufficient. I mean, well, he's the God of the universe. I mean, he spins the planets. He places the stars. He numbers the hairs on your head. Mine aren't as many as they used to be, but still. And I don't mean he knows how many. I mean they're numbered. That's what the verse says. It's not how many hairs you have. I have numbered the hairs on your head. I lost 45 through 60 this morning. There's no unmet need to himself. The church needs to understand that he's self-sufficient and there's no unmet need in and of himself. So there's got to be a reason we're here. And I don't know everything about the mind of God clearly, but I know there's a twofold purpose evident from the very beginning of time as we know it. One, on one hand, we're created to participate in the grace of God. Somebody needs to say amen right there. And because of that, we were created in his image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says this: "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness.'" Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure God would be taller than me. So there's got to be more to it than how we read it. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image or our likeness.'" And then he said, "So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God who created them, male and female, he created them." Out of all of God's creation, you and I, we alone have the capacity to enjoy God and his grace in an intimate relationship with him. I mean, I've tried to lead my dog to the Lord. I think he's the devil, though. Listen, we're the only ones that can enjoy, and I know that's a weird word to use, but enjoy the grace of God. And the very first word the Bible uses to describe that, that relationship word is the word blessing. And he blessed mankind. He blessed Adam and Eve in the beginning, not because they did anything to deserve it. I mean, can we just pause on that for a second? It was purely out of God-given grace. That's all it was. Was Adam a great farmer? Probably. Well, was Eve a good cook? I don't know, and I'm not stereotyping, ladies. Don't send me emails. But I'm saying, they were blessed just right out of the chute. Amen. But that's not the end of the story, because immediately following the blessing, he gave a command, and that's verse 28 of Genesis 1, and he says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, and that word subdue really means to manage, so we got to get better at that too, but that's a soapbox for another day. But in other words, God gave his people his image for a reason, so that they might multiply his image. Throughout the world. Which means he cares about everyone throughout the world. Not the ones that are, you know, like us. So we can establish, I think, that God created humans, that's me and you, not only to enjoy his grace, but to extend his glory. That he would be known throughout the world. And I know the first pushback is always, yeah, but, you know, what about right here? You know, if we were getting the job done, this wouldn't even be a conversation. But the church is not. I'm going to go over here and just talk to Dwayne, because we've already talked about this, and you guys are looking at me a little mean right now, and I'm not good with that. I get intimidated real easy. Look at me cowering down. Yeah, it's across the street, and it's across the pew, and it's down the road, and it's there, and it's here. You get the idea. But you do know that there's nowhere in Scripture where it says it's a calling to go to a mission field. So what we are great at is throwing money at stuff. Give me one more amen and I'll go. Thank you. So we're you're like, dude, you are so insecure. We're great at throwing money at stuff, and we'll have the way I was raised, we had these mission conferences, and it was just people that came and they set up their table and they were just asking for money. And people emptied their wallets. But they're like, but I ain't going. I mean, come on, I ain't going. I mean, I don't want my kids to go. I mean, sure, on Thanksgiving, we'll go work at Target Dayton or a homeless shelter. No, I need to dial it back. I need to dial it back a little bit. Because, listen, the twofold purpose of he created us to enjoy his grace, to love others and to have his love, but then also to extend his glory to every person across the world. I mean, Genesis 1 sets the stage for the rest of the Bible. It's everywhere. No, it's all the way through to Revelation, and we're going to get there, and you're like, is this dude going to read the whole Bible? No. But it revolves around the same purpose, the grace of God and the glory of God. Period. It's not about him fixing our life. It's not about him filling our bank account. It's not about him healing my mom. It's about his grace and his glory to everyone. In Genesis 12, God tells Abraham in verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And we're like, let's go, God.
make me a blessing.
Then he connects it with a bigger purpose in the next verse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. Oh, I see now. So you're blessing me so that others can. So we can see that God blessed, we know this, he blesses Abraham abundantly, but not for Abraham's sake. He blesses Abraham so that others will know of the one true God. Another question, with the blessings that we have that God has given us, because FYI, and I know you know this, I'm just reminding us, he owns everything. So everything I have is his. I don't know why he wanted to put a dent in my truck, but he apparently did. So whatever, I'm still a little bitter about it, but that's not important right now. But he owns everything. So the question is how I'm managing what I have. Is it bringing him glory? See, he blessed Abraham not for Abraham's sake. He blesses Abraham so he can be a conduit, not a bucket, for everyone else. And so God tells Abraham, you know, receive my grace and then extend my glory. Receive my grace and extend my glory. I get it. We live in a cynical culture, and you're skeptical, and you should be. I get it. So you need more proof. Great. Let's fast forward a little bit. God delivered his people out of Egypt. Remember that story? You know, the Moses Pharaoh showdown, right? Immediately following the Exodus, God brought them to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were on their heels. I mean, the chariots, they can hear them coming. You already know the story, but God says this in Exodus 14, verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of his army, and the Egyptians will know, say it please. He didn't deliver them for them. Because it was never about them. He delivered them for him. Because it's all about him. So he showed them grace to extend his glory. How am I doing so far? Okay. So he parts the water. They go through on dry. You know this story. I'm just putting us in the mindset of it. And then he calls the waves to devour the enemy behind them. Oh, wait. Like he did you. And like he did me. But not for me. For his glory. Was to gain glory for himself. And if you keep reading the book of Exodus, you'll find that Egyptians and all the nations after them knew that he was the one true God. Can I just give one more example? Are we good? We're going to get to the New Testament in a minute, so hang with me, because I know some of you are like, well, that's Old Testament. That's nothing to do with me right now. It's all the Word of God. Amen. Corey's like, you got to stop using those voices. How about, I think you know the story already, but there was these three Hebrew young men, Shadrach and Abednego, right? Yeah, and the king says, when you hear the music hit your face, man, and you bow in front of me or in front of the statue of me, and I won't kill you. But if you don't, you have to go into the furnace. And they cranked it. They cranked it hotter than it had ever been. When the music played, well, they decided, we're not going to bow to you. Right? We're not going to bow to you. We're not bowing to you. They got thrown in the furnace. You know the story, right? I mean, that's enough I have to say about that. Right. So they got thrown in the furnace. It was stoked. Now, this begs the question, why would a God of love Here's where the apple cart is like, bam! Why, how could a God of love throw these boys that were loyal to him into a furnace? Because it wasn't about them boys. Wasn't about them boys. Nope. No. So why did this happen? Well, we gloss over this, but in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28 and 29, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise. No, listen. This was the king that said, you will bow to me. And then when they came out without even sweat on their brow, not smelling like smoke, they didn't say, the king didn't say, guys, you guys are awesome. You guys, you have this figured out. You are so godly. You are so righteous. You're so religious. No, what he said was, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants, exclamation point. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Verse 29 says, therefore, the king already made a decree. He's changing the decree because of what God did. And he said, therefore, I decree that the people of any, say it please, nation, that includes us, but it don't exclude any other one. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would you listen to the weight of what he says? They will be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. That's all you can say, Kelly. That's all you can say. Okay, well, all right. Well, there it is. So it wasn't about those guys. We make it about them, but God's really plain that it's about him. He showed grace, and they extended his glory. Yeah, that's the reason God let these guys get thrown into a furnace was so that they would come out on the other side unscathed. Oh, but wait, it was because a pagan king had to see that there was somebody bigger on a throne. So yeah, they came through it, and we celebrate that. But it wasn't just to bring them through it. And whatever you're going through right now is not just so you can get through it. It's so on the other side that people know there's a king on a bigger throne than mine and yours. It's the creator of the universe, the God that we are on this planet to extend the glory of and share the grace of. That's the only reason we get through it. Because I ain't tough enough, I ain't bad enough, I ain't smart enough to get through my stuff. We need to declare that God is worthy of praise to all the nations. God's in the business of blessing his people in unusual ways so that his goodness and his greatness will be declared among all people. How about the Psalms? Can I read a psalm? I don't have verses for this, Miss Katie. Katie's like, you didn't load it. Because I wasn't sure if I was even going to read it, but I feel like God said read it, so I'm going to read it if that's okay. Psalm 67. I'm licking my fingers like my daddy used to lick his fingers. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known. No, come, no, listen. Ah, oh, man, I'm about to preach. That's fair, that's fair. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that his ways are known on earth and your salvation is known among all nations. May the people praise you, God. May the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the people praise you, God. May the peoples praise you. I'm not repeating it. It repeats it. The land yields its harvest, God. Our God blesses us, and God will bless us still so that the ends of the earth will know him.
About to drop it.
It's why blessing is given to us and why grace is extended to us so that we can extend his glory. Then there's this passage in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel, is that a book in the Bible? Yeah. There's some incredible words from the very mouth of God that recounts his work among his people. Ezekiel 36, we're going to read 22 and 23. He's addressing how the people had sinned against him. Guilty. And he describes the reasons for what he did. As a result of that, I'm just going to read it. Ezekiel 36, verse 22. This is what the sovereign Lord said. It's not for your sake, people of Israel. That means his people. That's you and me, right? I mean, that's the church. It's not for your sake that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my name, my holy name. It's so not about you. But I'm going to do what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do so that everybody knows my holy name. Man, oh man. Which you have profaned among the nations where you've gone. I'll show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you've profaned among them. Then, when I do what I'm going to do, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I have proved holy through you, through me, through you, before their eyes. What a revelation this is. What a revelation that he does what he does so that he's known. Not so that people know we cleaned up our act. Not so people know we got our life together. I mean, they're going to know that. But that's not why he doesn't need me. He doesn't need me to prove he exists. He doesn't need me to prove that he's God. It was for the sake of his name being known among the nations. Jesus ended his time on earth by commanding me and you to do something. And you know what it is. It's to take the gospel to everyone. And he said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know that. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. So it is about us extending the gospel to the world. It's not just us trying not to cuss. It's not just us showing up on Sunday. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Please don't mishear me. But it's more than that. It is so that the kingdom of God is advanced and the glory of God is extended. We receive his grace to extend his glory. I don't know. This is, I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to reinvent the wheel here. From the very beginning, God's purpose was to bless his people so that those around them would bring him glory. Therefore, it's no surprise in the last book of the Bible, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, 9, and 10, your Bible says, after this, I looked, John's writing this, and he said, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Can I pause right there for a second? My father had a sixth grade education. Oh, I thought he was a genius, and I'll take that one to my grave because he was. But he had a sixth grade education, and one time these young men with white shirts and black ties knocked on his door and began to tell him that there's only 7,000 going to make it. And my dad pulled out his gigantic King James Bible and he flipped to this passage and he said, wait. Following the verse that you're talking about, it says there's a number of people that can't even be counted dressed in robes of white that apparently made it. We're going to go now. Dad's like, that's probably a good idea. Use the Bible as your own commentary. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every, somebody? Nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. So it's not just people like me. It's not just people like you. It's not just the whites. It's not just the blacks, not just the Mexicans. Not, are you with me at all? You're not allowed to say that in church. No one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand. They cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs not to me. Salvation don't belong to you. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is the ultimate global purpose of God in Scripture. That salvation belongs to him. Oh, we receive his grace, but only to extend his glory. Because salvation don't belong to me. Because I didn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Yet you give yourself away. God blesses his people with extravagant saving grace so we can extend his extravagant glory to every single person on this planet. I guess the question is, Dwayne asked me during the welcome, he said, how are you going to get out of this? How are you ending this message? I really don't know, because this, I'm not looking for an altar call. I'm not looking at for somebody to come up and tell me, great job. This is why we're here. So the question again is, what do we do with it? Well, I'm afraid we live in a time where our hearts resonate with the idea of enjoying the grace of God, which, yes, we should, but it's just a grace that's centered on us. And while that grace is definitely for us, if we disconnect it from its purpose, and that is to extend the glory of God, then we have a self-centered Christianity that it bypasses the very purpose of why he saved us to begin with. See, I don't know how many people I've asked this to. Pastor Dwayne was the only one who answered it correctly. Go figure. I told you he's the brains of the operation. But most people's summary of the gospel is that God loves me. Please know he does. Overwhelmingly and abundantly. But that's only half of his purpose. Why does he love you? Why did he send his son? He doesn't need us to populate heaven. He's surrounded by cherubim and seraphim, angels that are celebrating him as I speak. He doesn't need me up there. I'll probably just let the grass get too high in my mansion. He doesn't need me. I'll bring the property value down. but to leave it at God loves me, it's not the essence. It's not the principle of biblical Christianity, because if God loves me, if that's the purpose, then the objectivity of Christianity is me. Because God loves me. And it's not about me. Was never about me. Will never be about me. But if I hang my spiritual hat on the nail of, but God loves me and he died for me, I'm not saying ignore that, but you have to finish the equation. Why did he love me? Why did he save me? So that I could extend his glory to the nations. And if I make it all about me, and again, I've been in church since I was 5 years old. I've not always done it well, but I've been in church since I was five. And when we make it all about me, when I look for a church or a community of, you know, believers to associate with, I will look for people that I like. I'll look for the music that I like. The temperature has to be right. How far? I don't know how far to go with this without meddling. I gotta have programs that cater to every demographic, every age group, but especially me. So how's your men's group? How's your ladies group? How's your youth group? How's your blah, 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 blah? And those are all important, and we have all of those. I'm just saying, none of those programs are about me. Because none of this can be about me. It just can't. The message of Christianity and of our faith is not just God loves me as if we were the object of our own faith, rather the message and the object of Christianity is God loves me so that I may make his salvation known and that his glory would be extended to the world. In this light, it kind of changes in my opinion, and I'll step away from the book, because when I say in my opinion, you don't have to listen to it, because my opinion doesn't have any weight whatsoever. But in my opinion, filtering what we do and how we live and the decisions we make and how we treat each other through that, not just each other, but the world, filtering it through that changes how we go forward. That's just my opinion. I mean, you read the verses. It's all about God's glory. It's not about me living in fear. It's not about me making any of this or any of my life about me. I have received the grace of God. My assignment now, till He takes me home, is to extend His glory. Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. And I'm not talking about behavior modification so that they're like, they'll know I love Jesus. No. No, because I know some really, really good people that need Jesus. Can we just be honest for a second? So it's not about your behavior modification. It is about extending the glory of God when people see the grace of God in your life. Paul said this, and again, I don't have this verse behind me because I wasn't sure if I was going to read it. Paul said this in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am a debtor. In other words, I am in debt to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So much as is in me, I am going to preach the gospel to you who are in also Rome. When Paul realized that he was now owned by Jesus, the revelation also came that he was in debt to everybody that don't know Jesus. Rhetorical question, but how are we doing with that? He owed Jesus to the world. Yeah, we owe Jesus to the 937. I get it. But the world doesn't begin and end in Dayton. It just doesn't. And I'm not indicting anyone, but my own experience has been that most Christ followers' schedules are not really heavily filled with feeding the hungry. And again, I'm not wagging my finger at you. You want the Sunday school truth. Chancey started this in me last week with his message, which, by the way, I can pull you up a June calendar on my laptop. There's no Feed the Hungry on my calendar. There's no Serve the Widows on my calendar. And yet, that is our assignment. Listen, you need to know that I know that guilt's not a motivator. So I'm not trying to get, please know that's not my agenda today. Guilt's not a motivator. Somebody try to guilt me, I'll shut them down so fast. And maybe you already have me, which I get it. But I'm not trying to throw guilt across this room. What I'm trying to get us to understand is that we are here for a reason. And it ain't about us. It just isn't. It's so that His great holy name, is extended to the world. That his glory is made known. That his salvation is made known. So I don't know what this looks like in your life. I invite you to let your heart be gripped by a biblical truth. That's all. That's it. That God has designed a global purpose in your life and in my life. I invite you to lay aside a gospel-less reasoning that might prevent you and I from accomplishing that purpose. I invite you to just consider what it would mean and what it would look like if we were intentional about extending his glory because we've received his grace. In every aspect of our life, in all parts of the world, I believe we would literally impact the world. That word impact is an interesting word. I'm a words guy. I like to know definitions of things I'm throwing around. So last night, my mom and I were talking about the message a little bit, and she might have been the one that used the word impact. I don't remember. But I typed it in to my notes, and I bolded it because I'm like, that's good, impact the world, yeah. And I'm like, what does impact mean? Webster's defines it like this: impact, a forcible contact between two things. So our assignment is to collide with everything that doesn't look like Jesus. A forcible contact between two things. God has designed you and I to have a collision with everything in our life that doesn't extend his glory. What if a God-honoring global passion agenda is exactly what is needed for the church to see revival today? I'm just asking questions. What if all of us just made our mind up to give God all of us? Because see, we don't need more God. I know, it's why I opened the service like I did. I'm tired of God bless America. What does that even mean? Nobody walked here, right? You know you're blessed. How about we bless God? And how about he gets all of us, not us acting like we're waiting on him? Because we're not. No, he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. Well, yeah. I'm out. Thank you for your time.
Look, I make no bones about it. I don't know how to get out of some things.
You think I'd stay up all night thinking about this? Is my life extending the glory of God? Is it? I mean, you're a nice guy. You lead worship. You preach. Blah, blah, blah. You're good to your wife. You love your new son-in-law. You got this. You got this, Jeff. It means nothing. Because it's not about me. If those things don't bring glory to God in a way bigger than I'm just a nice guy.
Listen, I didn't take the mic from him because he couldn't finish. What needed to be said was said. I came because I felt a challenge in my spirit. And listen to me. I know that I'm being obedient to God. There's no doubt in my mind, okay? I'm not going to re-preach what he just said. You heard what he said. And I want you to understand what I'm about to say is not me trying to do what he said we have a tendency to do, which is throw money at a situation, right? But what I realized in what he said, I truly realized that it's not about us, right? Like, it never was, you know, when we're broke and we're feeling discouraged, it's not about us. Newsflash, sorry. I know that stinks, but it never was about us. So it got me thinking. I'm like, Lord, like, we just want to do whatever you have us to do. So something that has been on my heart, me and Pastor Jeff have discussed it. I've talked to the leadership about it, and I told everybody, I said, hey, let's pray about this. And then God began to stir the pot in other areas. And so here it is. He doesn't even know what I'm about to say. So when you know and you feel like, man, they've lost their mind, it's just me, I lost my mind. He didn't lose his mind, okay? But here's the deal. I believe that there is opportunity for our church to make an impact. There are some things that have already been set in play that began without our help, because it's not about me and him. It's about what God wants to do, and when he wants to do it, he's going to do it. So here's the deal. I believe that our church can come up with $4,000. $4,000 for what? Pastor Dwayne, you're throwing money at a situation. Hear me out. Right now, in the world we live in, one of the biggest things that's affecting everyone is what? Gas prices. But check this out. This hit me. There's something else. Because of gas prices, something else is happening. Cost of food. Buying groceries and simply putting gas in your car has become a burden. Now, you know, only half of this I said something about, and my wife said something to me the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh. $4,000 to be able to put gas in people's cars and allow them to buy groceries. Now, hear what I'm saying. I'm not trying to throw money at a situation. What I'm saying is that, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a king has come and said, you will bow before me because you need me. And what I'm saying is that we don't need anything except for God. And God can provide. And how awesome would it be for people to see God provide the needs that they have? Come on. Are you hearing me? This just hit me. Listen, I'm not asking you. I said it wrong. I said I felt like the church could. No, I believe God can. But I'm going to keep it real. God moves through us. So I'm putting it out there. As far as I know, this is still on Facebook. So it is what it is. It is the goal of the body. It's the goal of the body, period. That's all I'm going to say. Because I couldn't even finish it. It should be the goal of the body of Christ to supply the needs of people so that they know what? that he can. $4,000. $4,000, and we are going to, in some way, shape, or form, I don't care if we got to go stand at the gas station and pump gas. I don't care if we, check this out, buy gift cards. What if we bought gift cards for Kroger's and Meijer's and whatnot, and people can go and buy their groceries if they need, or they can go and buy gas if they need. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. And we're going to say, guess what? Guess what? Guess who did this? Not the government. No, you got to pull that sticker down because he didn't do this. What? You ever seen that sticker? No. We got to pull this down because he didn't do this one. God did this. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? This is how we gonna close this up today. Okay? So I'm putting it out there over the next few months. I'm believing that throughout this summer, by the end of the summer, I want to come up on stage and I want to tell you that the Body Dayton and anybody else who gets involved, whether it's on Facebook or anywhere else, that we have come together and we have supplied $4,000, if not more, to the cause of Christ.
Amen. Okay. Amen. We believe it.
And here, this is the way I'm going to do this. This has nothing to do with anybody else, but I want you to know that I'm going to put action to where I put my mouth. Do you hear me? This is how much I believe in this. I'm going to put $1,000 of my own money toward that go. I need you to understand something. I'm not rich. But what I am is I am the son of the God that owns 1,000 cattle on a hill. Do you understand me?
Okay. Thank you, Jesus.
So I'm taking the first step here. I'm not asking nobody else to do what I did. I'm just telling you that I believe God. And I believe that we're going to step out there and we're going to tell Dayton, Ohio, that he can. Do you hear me?
Dwayne and I have been talking about this for probably 3 months, maybe longer. I don't even know. That We've called it different things because we're pastors, so it's got to have a hook. We're ignorant like that sometimes. We contacted gas stations to see if we could just have them drop their gas prices and then we would pay the difference for, 2 hours or whatever. Because we want to extend the glory of God. We receive it. Let's do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift you up in this house. We thank you for what you're getting ready to do. Your name will be known. Your glory will be extended. Your greatness will be acknowledged. Because of what you're going to do. You've blessed us. We receive it. But you bless us to be a conduit, not a bucket. So we will extend your glory through our blessing. For your great name. Father, I also ask you that we would be intentional and mindful as we turn a corner and leave this place and go about our week. That we would just notice you. That we would be strategic. And sharing our story and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ for your glory. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. God, we want to decrease so you can increase. This is not about me. We bless your holy name. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for your time and your patience. Have a great week.